All right, well, last week we started talking about biblical financial principles and started a series, and we're going to do that for a while. I don't know, of course, we'll have a guest speaker next week, but then we'll continue on. So just what the Bible has to say about money in different areas, and that affects all of our life. We well know that, and God doesn't ignore that. And just to talk about different areas. So, last week we just kind of did a flyover, just an introduction about prosperity and money in general. And, we said there's ditches that people get into on any subject, it seems like. And in the area of money, one ditch is, that we're supposed to be poor, that the less you have, the more spiritual that you are. And that you shouldn't have anything, and that all money or any worldly goods, if you're doing well, you must not be spiritual. And that's a ditch over here, and people believe that. And then there's people over here that think everything's about money, and it's a complete indication of your spirituality is money. And that's all they talk about is money. They're money-minded. We've all seen excesses or heard about excesses in the church or certain individuals using funds that were ministers or whatever, using funds inappropriately or basically just taking people's money. And that gives a bad name. So there's ditches on both sides, but then there's what God's truth is. It's in the middle, like everything. And He wants us to be well in every area of life. He's not unbalanced in any area of life. He doesn't want, you think about your physical body. If all you did is work out your right arm, your right bicep, and it got to be where it was huge, but the rest of your body, your legs were the same size, your left arm was the same size, but you had this huge right arm, it would look out of balance. You'd probably suffer some physical consequences for that, for just your body being out of whack. Well, God doesn't want us to be out of whack in every area. He wants us to be prosperous and well and whole in every area. That includes our health. That includes our relationships. That includes our mind. That includes just our peace and how we appropriate li or approach life. And that includes financial. Anybody that just thinks that we can ignore that part is fooling themselves. Right now, we know. You see it all the time on the news. The financial world is in the forefront of people's minds, what they're going to do. What is the economy going to do? Right now, this disaster in Japan, those people, they need help. They need what? They need money, helps them, the resources. We're sending help over there. If we were completely without any money, how would we help them? We'd be able to say, well, I hope everything goes right, but we wouldn't be able to help them. So, people. The monetary, our mon the situation, monetary and financial, that affects people's lives. It affects all of our lives, and God has not ignored that in His Word. So we just kind of gave an overview, and I'm not going to go through all that again. But this week, I wanted to just go through the Bible in different areas and just show how historically that God's servants, the people that served God, were blessed. That they did fine financially. They were in materially, that as people put God first, they had plenty. So let's start over in Psalm 1 through 3. We read this last week, but just to start off. And basically, what it comes down to is God has he doesn't have any problem with people having money. It's with the money controlling people, people putting money on a throne. That's the problem. You could have $1 billion or be the richest person in the world. God does not have any problem because that person could help people do, like right now in certain conditions, that person could help a lot of people. There's a lot of people that have a lot of money that don't want to spend any of it. There's people that don't have any money that don't want to spend any of what they have. And so it's about our attitude towards money. God wants us taken care of just like we want our children taken care of, just like we want our spouses taken care of. He wants us to be taken care of. All right, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. A person that puts God first, that puts what God says first, and wants to do what God says. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's somebody, it's a picture of somebody that is going after God, wanting to serve God. God said, you know, the psalmist said here, whatever he does, he's going to prosper. He's going to be like a tree that's right by the river. The river indicates life and is the source of life for that tree. God is our source of life. Yes, people can get money. There are people all over that don't acknowledge God that have money. If we were to say the only way to get money is just to serve God, that would be fooling ourselves. And there's proof to the contrary all over the world. But like I said before, God wants us well in every area. I would gladly give up $1 billion if I would never take $1 billion if you were going to take my right arm, left arm. You're going to say, I'll trade you $1 billion. I'll give you $1 billion if you never can use your legs again. I wouldn't take any amount of money. I'd rather be able to walk. I would never take any amount of money from my family. I would never take any amount of money to live in a house full of strife. I would never take, you know, any amount of money than to be without a sound mind the rest of my days. But there are people that trade any number of things, their health, their relationships, their peace of mind for money. God wants us to go, and he wants us to be well. He wants us to prosper, but he does not want us to give other things up. It's not worth it. Money is not worth it. God wants us to be blessed, but he wants us to be balanced. But he says here, somebody that is putting him first, that is hooked up with life, which is God himself, he is going to be like that tree planted by the river, and that indicates life. If we're hooked up with God, then we're going to be hooked up with life, and we're going, there's no way God, if you're hooked up with God, you can help but prosper. No way. What? You're going to be hooked up with God and be completely destitute? That just doesn't make any sense. God is not a failure. God's the one that gave life. He's the one that made everything grow. He knows how to do it. He's the one that gives people ideas. He knows how to get it done. Let's turn over to Isaiah 1:19. Read this last week too, but just before we get going. Isaiah 1:19. It says there, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is God talking to Israel, talking about his servants. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Another, in the NIV, it says the best of the land. How can you eat the best of the land and not be taken care of? You will. If you're going to be willing and obedient, if you'll follow God, if we'll do what he says to do, we're going to be taken care of. We're going to eat the best of the land. So let's turn back. We're going to go through a few different, show some examples of how God's, the people that did, that followed after God were blessed. Let's turn back to Genesis. It says in Genesis 13, verse 1, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. We have Abram, later Abraham. He had everything he needed. Of course, he's the father of us all spiritually, the father of faith. But here's God's servant. God called him blessed, and he was blessed. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now his son Isaac, let's turn just a few chapters back to Genesis 26. Genesis 26, verse 12. Genesis 26, verse 12 says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land." It was during a famine. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper, continued prospering until he became very prosperous." So Isaac, his son, was prosperous. Let's turn over to Genesis 36, just a little bit further back. Genesis 36, 7. Now it's talking about Esau and Jacob. It says, "Brothers, for their possessions were too great for them to dwell together, and the land where they were strangers could not support them because of their livestock." They had so much, and it enumerates some other places in there how much Jacob had. He had so much that they couldn't even stay in the same place, he and Esau. So they split apart. So they were prosperous. We could read over in Job. Let's not turn there right now, but Job's a... most people say the oldest book in the Bible. He's a man who served God. A lot of things happened with Job. But at the beginning, he was very blessed of his life. I'm just going to read Job 1:3. We don't have to turn over there, but Job 1:3 said, "Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all people of the East." See, he served God. Now, some things happened in Job's life. We're not going to get into all that. But at the end of Job's life, in Job 42:12 says, "Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys." He had twice of everything. That God took care of him. God's will is to take care of us. Let's turn over to 1 Kings 10:7. First Kings 10:7. This is Solomon. Solomon was, of course, great in wisdom, great in very prosperous as the son of David. When Israel was doing all that they should do, they were following God. And so the Queen of Sheba came to him, and she said this, "However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard." So these are the descendants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Israel, down through the way, as they followed God, God made them prosperous. The nation of Israel was very prosperous at this time. And you know, the Queen of Sheba came and said, "Man, it wasn't even half. What was told me wasn't even half what I see. You're just beyond, your wisdom and prosperity exceed everything that was told to me." 2 Chronicles 26:8. Let's just not turn over there. 26:3-5, I'm just going to read this to you. It says, "Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right." And now this is the part I want you to focus on. "He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper." So you see it over and over again. When people sought God and went out after him, they prospered. We're just going to keep going. God's will for us is to do well and to be taken care of. There isn't one area of our life that God would say, "You know what? No, I really don't want you to do well there." That's just not God's will. That is religion. That's twisted. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 8. We're going to read some verses there. Deuteronomy 8, and then we'll go to Deuteronomy 28. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8:1, it says, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." In verse 2 and 3, he's saying how they wandered around in the wilderness. Verse 4, he says, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. He says a few more things. Skip to verse 6. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, when you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So he's telling the Israelites, he's saying, you've had some hard times, you've come through the wilderness, you know, but that whole time I took care of you. Your clothes didn't wear out, you had manna, you had all this. Now I'm bringing you into a good land, and he describes that land. They're not going to lack for anything. There's going to be plenty of bread. There's going to be plenty of everything. Everything's going to multiply. Their money's going to multiply. Their herds are going to multiply. Everything is going to multiply. He said, at that point, don't get your eyes off me. He's saying, I'm the one that's prospering you. Now stay with me and look at me, and don't start thinking that it's you that got all this for you. Because he said, it is I who gives you the power to get wealth. In verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So God's will for them is to be blessed and taken care of. He said, you've come through some rough times, but it was my will to bless you. I'm bringing you into a good land. I want to bless you. It's me who gives you the power to get wealth. God, I mean, you read that scripture, there's no way you can think God wanted these people poor. No, he's saying, I want to do good with you. Just remember where it came from. And I don't care what anybody says, whether they think they're a self-made man or what. They did not create all the resources of the earth. The earth is God's. We read that at Psalm 50. All the cattle on a thousand hills are God. Their very life is God's. God gave them the breath of life. God gave them the power of work. God gave them their mind. And people say, oh, I just did it all myself. Yeah, where did you get it to begin with? See, these people are not acknowledging God Almighty. This pride. They're lifted up. They think, oh, I just did it all. Well, you used what God gave you and used it in a way that he wouldn't approve of. You didn't acknowledge the Creator. Yes, you can go and use it, just like he's telling these people. You're going to get blessed. I'm going to bless you. But after you're full and after everything's taken care of, you're going to be tempted to take your eye off me. And so God is, again, after the heart. He wants people to look at him. He's not against them having all this. He said, it's coming. Everything's going to be multiplied. Just don't let it get you off. Don't start looking at the money. Don't start looking at the stuff. Look at me. Do what I tell you to do, and it will be well with you. You're not going to hurt yourself then. That's what he's telling them. Now let's just skip a few chapters back to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Now, this is Moses speaking again to the children of Israel. This is what he says. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now listen to all he says will happen when we follow, when the Israelites follow him. 2, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. Everything you set your hand to is going to prosper, he says. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain, or give the rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve him. And then in verse 15 on, he goes through all the curses if you're not going to obey. And we saw those played out in the Israel, in what they did. When they served God, when they went after him, they prospered. But then, when they were prosperous, Solomon, so prosperous, the land was so prosperous, you know, the kings started going off. They started leading God, the Israelites astray. They started going and serving other gods. And they eventually ended up in slavery again. But God's purpose, all along, God wanted to bless his people. And if it's that way from the beginning, it's still that way now. As we go through, you know, into where Jesus came on the earth, it's the same way, and then into the new covenant. God has not changed. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He wants his people to prosper. Let's turn over to Luke 12. Listen, we read this parable last week, but we're going to start here because this shows you the context that Jesus is speaking in. Chapter 12, Luke 12, verse 13. Chapter 12, verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness," or the desire for things, that you just want things really bad. You're always thinking about other people's things or about getting things for yourself, and that's what you're consumed with. That's what covetousness is. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Verse 16, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" This guy's doing really well. And he's doing so well that all his space for his crops are full. I mean, that'd be like having so much money, all your bank accounts are full. So what are you going to do? So he said, I know what I'll do. Verse 18. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. Verse 19, and I will say to myself, or to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink, and be merry. This guy thinks he's got it made because he's got money. He's got plenty. Doesn't have to work another day in his life if he wants to. But what does it say in verse 20? God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be which you have provided? You think you have it made, but you're going to die. Now, all the stuff you've put all this, you know, you focused on, going to go to somebody else. Maybe your heir, but you're gone. Verse 21, so is he who lays up treasure for himself who is not and is not rich toward God. Somebody whose focus is not on God, but the money. He didn't say this guy couldn't make any money. Okay? And we're going to get into this stuff a little later, you know, talking about where giving comes into different things. But he didn't say the only way you're going to do well is by serving God. Okay? Some people have twisted stuff. And there's a balance and all this. I'm not going to get into it today. But some people have used money and preyed on people that don't know any better, that maybe aren't in a good place. And they say, you know, the only way you're going to get out of this is if you give and give to me. And people give stuff they can't afford to give. And you know what? The world looks at that and says charlatans. People that are focused on money. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place to give. But there is a balance in it. And it's not, people look at that and go, really? And when you ever hear somebody say, the only way you're ever going to be blessed or ever going to have any money is to give to God. I'm telling you, people in the world look at that and go, really? And they'll just, in their mind, they're naming how many people they know that are on the richest people in the world's list and saying, not Christians. What are you saying? Looks like you're a little bit unbalanced here. And it's true. No, people can get money. But I guarantee you, if you're going to live God's way, there's going to be some things you're going to focus on Him, and your whole life is going to be well. If you want to live the way God would have you, and like we read over in Proverbs, that God makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it, then there's a path that way. But just to say that the only way you're going to get in money is to just, you know, do X, Y, and Z, and it just has to do with Christianity, well, there are tons of many, many people that are prospering, that have money, that aren't Christians. So we want to be balanced when we look at it. Don't make the Bible say something that it doesn't. No, the Bible says people can be rich, but focusing on money is not where it's at. It's living a life before God, doing what God would have us to do, living fully before Him, knowing He's our Creator. Everything we have is His. Everything He has is ours, and going forth and living. And like it says in verse 21, that we want to be the people that are being rich toward God and not like this person who is not rich toward God. So in this context, then Jesus says, then He said to His disciples, therefore I say to you, okay, He's just got done saying this parable. He's talking about this guy that was all focused on money, but then he's dead. And he wasn't focused on God at all. So then Jesus says, therefore, then He said to His disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Of which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, see, it's the same thing we're saying. You can't make yourself, you know, you can't make your heart beat. You can't make, if you're worrying about stuff, you can't change anything about your being. If you can't do that, then why are you worried about the rest? Verse 25, of which you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? He's saying, heck, I made it all. I clothed the grass and the flowers pretty nicely. You're my child. I'm going to take care of you. Just look to me. That's what he's saying to everybody. And he's done it. Verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. See, people go after money. That's what he's saying. And your Father knows that you need these things. He's not stupid. God knows we need money. You know, God knows we have to pay our bills. God knows that. He's not dumb. You know, some people think God doesn't have any, as far as money, he just is up there off. He just has no clue that we have to pay our bills. Well, just doesn't God know that? Of course he knows that. God knows what's coming when we don't know. God knew everything that's happened the last 3 weeks before we ever had a clue. He knows. Verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Over in Matthew it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's one of my favorite verses. If we will just follow him, if we'll just do what he wants us to do, all the stuff that we need is going to be added to us. What did it say over in Deuteronomy 28? These blessings shall chase you down. They're going to overtake you if we'll just follow him. And it's not just money. He's talking about money here. But we'll be content with life and the money will be added to us. Everything we need. Didn't say everybody's going to be a billionaire. But he said we'll have what we need. We'll have it. We'll be taken care of. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he says to these people, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus is talking about this man that put all his focus on money. Yeah, but he didn't have his priorities right, and he wasn't serving God. So then he uses that and he says, look, I know God knows what you need. He knows what you need, and he's going to take care. Look at the way the flowers are. Do you think he's going to clothe the flowers like that? Yeah, but he's not going to take care of you. See, he's countering the thing that God's just not going to take care of us or look at us. He's saying God will take care of what you need. Just seek him first. Follow him. That your heart is for him, and he'll lead us, he'll guide us. He's saying, your Father, it's his good pleasure to give it to you. And we've seen that over and over with the things that we've read. As people have followed him, they've had their needs met all through history. And now as we come into the New Testament, and you know, I don't know that we're going to get much farther today, but one scripture, before we go, I want to read, or before we go further, Hebrews 8:6. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 8:6. It says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, Jesus, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. See, we are in, let me read it again. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. We do not today have an inferior covenant to what we're talking about. The old covenant, which is, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all preceded the old covenant. You know, the Mosaic law and everything. But when we read about Israel and Deuteronomy and everything, that's right in there. And what is he saying? If you'll follow me, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have things taken care of and whatever. We have a better covenant. God has not changed anything today to where it's like, well, yeah, now if you serve me, You know, you got to be destitute and poor. He didn't change anything. God, those things apply. The old covenant was fulfilled by Jesus, and we're in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if we'll follow after him and our hearts after him, we'll be taken care of, just like Jesus said. You know, over in Philippians 4:19, we can turn over there. Let's read a few scriptures before we close here. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19, you know, Paul's writing to the Philippians here, and he's talking about some things with them and what they gave and everything. In Philippians 4:19, he said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." See, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In verse 17, actually, he's talking about these people giving, and we're not going to go into this a lot today, but I just wanted to close or read a couple of these in closing. Verse 18 or verse 17, it says, "Not that I seek the gift." He's talking to these people. He's not saying, "I'm not trying to get you to give just to get what you have, but I want to see you abound." He says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound." This is Paul. Paul went through some stuff and got a lot of, you know, he wouldn't always have everything. He just went through a lot of hardships. But here he says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." See, God, as we go into the new covenant, and you see, there's not a lot everywhere in the letters necessarily about the financial status of all these people. Now, you know, Paul went through some stuff, and he was in prison and all these things. But I'm saying it's not like God turned a corner going into the new covenant and all of a sudden people didn't have anything. Yes, the disciples and the apostles went through some stuff. And Paul went, he did everything he could to get the gospel out. And at times he went without, because he says it, "I went without stuff, we didn't have whatever." That doesn't mean that God's will isn't to take care of him. He had all his needs met, just like you just read. People took care of him. But you know, if you've ever read about the founders of this country, those people, there was a lot of well-to-do people. But when they wrote their name down, and they put everything they had on the line to get this country started, they became targets. And you read about what happened to some of those people. You know, a lot of stuff happened. They were willing to put everything on the line, even though they had everything, to get done what needed to be done for this country. Paul, Paul did everything he could, whatever it had to. He went without if he had to. He did whatever. But God always met his needs and always took care of him. To say, well, you know, to somehow twist that and like, well, God doesn't want to take care of us. No, we've read, it's always been, God does not change up and down. It's always been God's will to prosper the people that blessed him. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, or, you know, the epistles. To say somehow God wasn't taking care of his needs, you know, and I don't want to go into all that, but it is God, like we read, we are in a better covenant, and if we'll seek first his kingdom and seek the real important things, which are people and our relationship with God, all the things we need are going to be taken care of as well. You know, we read last week, we'll just close with this, in 3 John 2, we don't have to turn over there, 3 John 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." You know, the Apostle John was saying that. He was saying that to a friend, and we went into some of that last week. But beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's what God's will is for us, that we would just prosper and be in health. In all things. That's what God's will was for us will for his servants were at the beginning, and that's the same today. That if we'll just seek him and follow him, all the things that we need are going to be added to us.